I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line now by our rugby correspondent, Alec McDonald. Alec, Ireland Grand Slam champions.
Yes, first time in Dublin, and it was, what, 1948 in Belfast where it all started, and certainly it was a great relief, I think, to everybody at the end of the game. Not that Ireland didn't win reasonably convincingly, but it was a game, I think, which everybody thought might happen. Like, for the first 15 minutes or so, I have to say England competed well. They caused a lot of nerves in the Ireland team and things. And Old Farrell kicking two penalties to put them into a 6-0 lead. And after 17 minutes, there was a bit of nerves. But then England gave away a penalty, and from 35 metres, Johnny Sexton opened the scoring. And more importantly, from his point of view, that was 566 points that he had got in the championship. He was level with Roland Agar before that, so that again was a great, you know, as well as a grand slam for Sexton, what he's done for Irish rugby. Now to be the top point scorer, I think, is even greater for him. That did settle down Ireland a little bit, but you know, again, it was quite nervy, and eventually, just about on the half hour mark, whenever Ireland got a line out, Van der Flier took the ball his usual way, took it, passed it inside to Dan Sheehan about 15 to 20 metres out. This guy, Dan Sheehan, has kind of hit the scene. Absolutely superb athlete for a hooker. Showed great pace, knocked Tuilagi out of the road as he went over the line. Sexton converted, so that made it 10 points to 6. And then, pardon me, just coming up into half time, of course, there was the incident with the red card between the two fullbacks. I prefer not to comment on. If you want to take anything to the letter of the law, yes, it possibly was. But I think most people thought there was no intent, there was no malice, and unfortunately, that Joe Keenan got a bang in the head. But that's as it was. The referee made his decision. So 10-6 at half time. England responded very well with the 14 men, and in fact, Farrell got his third penalty in 49 minutes. That brought it to 10-9. And, you know, there was a few nerves about it, even more so. But then just after the hour mark, between 62 and 68 minutes, I think the game just changed. Firstly, Robbie Henshaw finished off a nice pass from Bundiaki near the line. And then, 6 minutes later, this man, Sheehan, again, enter passing out on the touchline, gets the ball, and the bullocks his way across the line. Sexton converts both tries. So 24-9, I think there was an audible relief all around the ground, and people, you could see them starting to smile a bit more than they had been up to that. So that was it was. As it turned out then, of course, there was two more tries, plenty of action in the last 10 minutes. Respective hookers, Jamie George and Rob Herring, they both got over from line-out drives, and the final score then finished 29-16. And great relief around the ground, great celebration and everything. But a good game, actually, from Andy Farrell's point of view, because he saw the good and the bad in the team. You know, England were never going to lie down when they came yesterday, and they certainly put it up to Ireland, and who had to fight their way through and eventually get their game together. And, you know, 29-16, that's four tries for the bonus point. So a very, very happy team, really, at the end of the day, and a convincing scoreline. Maybe, in a sense, it was good to get that sort of game because, you know, the next really competitive game, apart from the three warm-up ones, will be in France. And that is what we're all talking about at the moment.
Well, Alec, touching on that, do you think the bigger sides like the Springboks or New Zealand in the line at the World Cup be looking at that England performance and thinking, you know, we can disrupt Ireland like that and we can get a better performance out of our sides and disrupt Ireland a good bit?
Well, very much so, because, I mean, you know, it's not an easy draw that Ireland's in the pool. I mean, they play, there's the four games, there's the two lesser sides they haven't got them down yet. But, I mean, then their third game is against South Africa and their final game is against Scotland. And we saw in the first half against Scotland, you know, how well they played. And yesterday, even though Italy once again produced a tremendous performance, the final Scottish try where they ran the ball from under their own post to score lets you see what they are intended to do. So, you know, there's no easy games. And then, of course, you get into the quarterfinals, which has been Ireland's Achilles heel ever since the competition started. It could well be the All Blacks. You just don't know what way it goes. But I think that, you know, the way that the team came through championship, they were the favourites. They're the number one team in the world, and they have achieved both. They're still sitting as number one team in the world, and they've won the Grand Slam. So you can't really argue against that. But I'm sure Andy Farrell will have seen a few wee things that he'll be able to build on. And a lot of the players, probably when they sit down and look at their own games, will realise, you know, that, you know, when the nerves get to you, sometimes you have to get above that. And it was a good finish for the championship. You would have hated England to come there yesterday and been beaten 40, 50 points and not give Ireland a game at all. I think the Irish team will have realised that, you know, they had a hard game, they played well, and things, they eventually got their game plan together at certain times, and that was what really mattered.
Alec, I know you touched on it there, but what a way for Johnny Sexton to bring the curtain down on his Six Nations career.
Oh, really? I mean, it's a fairy tale ending for him. I mean, Johnny Sexton, as we all know, had a fight to get on that Ireland team eventually when he was a young man up against Roland O'Gara, who, of course, was the incumbent number 10 for so many years. I mean, I think he's a great character. There's times you have to think to him, you know, would you not keep quiet when he talks to referees? But it's just his nature. He's competitive. And the thing I always say about Johnny Sexton is, even he's carrying an injury, if somebody comes at him, he'll hit him as hard as he can. I've never seen him shirk a tackle. I've never seen him not take the ball up and take the tackle when he gives the ball. Great example. I mean, and what a, you know, 37 years of age still going strong. And let's hope that in the warm-up games and in the World Cup that he doesn't get an injury, because you want to see him go as far as Ireland to go as far as he can in the World Cup, and you certainly want Johnny Sexton to be captain of number 10. But great as well yesterday, you know, that he broke that championship record. It'll take some doing, because that's a lot of points. And in this modern era, players don't sometimes play as long and maybe not get the opportunities as well. But all in all, I mean, it was a great day for Irish rugby. Andy Farrell deserves great credit for what he has done, taking over from Joe Smith. But I mean, as you said, yesterday was Johnny Sexton's day, captained a Grand Slam winning Irish team, broke the record for the championship and played his last successful game at the Aviva.
And finally, I suppose, Alec, wouldn't it be great to see Johnny going out on top, world champion?
Well, I mean, he, that cup that they lifted yesterday, and you saw the champagne flying and everything going around the ground. You know, I suppose it's the old story, who dares to dream? But I think Irish supporters, for the last four times I can recall, certainly 2015 when they went into the quarterfinals against Argentina, nobody ever thought Argentina would be 20 points up after 20 minutes. And that was a terrible one, even in the last World Cup as well. You know, I was at that one in Japan. I mean, the game when Japan defeated us was hard to take. And, you know, I don't see that slipping up this time. And, you know, once you get into, I think at this moment in time now, unlike all those other times, I mean, 4 years ago, Ireland had a number one rating. But it was because of games played. Sometimes it can be a bit false. It's like golf. But this time, Ireland have been number one for virtually the whole season. They went out to New Zealand in the summer and they beat New Zealand 2-1 on their own patch. They come back home and they have won the Grand Slam. So, you know, they've proved it on the pitch. And honestly, I think if they can stay clear of injuries and we don't lose any of the really good players, but although there's a lot of young talent coming through, I think Farrell, when you look at him, you get the impression that he's very confident, but you never know.